Good evening. As he said, my name is Josh Poss. There's a lot of new faces here. It's really good to see all the familiar faces, but also all of the new faces as well. And Preacher, you know, all his cute stories, you got to take them, you know, just like you, everything you read on the internet isn't true. Every cute story you hear from Preacher up here isn't true. Part of it is true. I'm not going to call him a liar straight out, but I will say that. I mean, what kind of church? One time, Jake and I and a few boys were staying overnight before a big trip for a conference. We had like seven or eight of the men of the church, that have wives and children and their own lives, coming to the church in the middle of the night, climbing in the attics, making sounds, trying to scare us. And what kind of childhood did I have here, you know? And then another time, we're having a sleepover at Gary's old house, and he's got the creepiest, scariest basement I've ever seen in my life. Well, 1, 2 o'clock in the morning, again, some grown men decide to leave their wife and their family, come sneak in the basement, and turn on a skill saw. And we had already watched a couple scary movies, Lord forgive me, but way back then, a skill saw in the middle of the night is not something that you want to hear. So I will say, I love Preacher and all his stories. My wife's favorite story is the teepee story. She asks him to hear it every time we come, you know, because she's heard it 700 times. But it's a privilege for us to be here. This is the first time my family's been here in over 2.5 years. First time my son has been here. This place is a special place to me. I've been a member here, I was thinking today while I was driving, for 14 years now. I've been here, well, almost 14 years, because I'll be 30 in April. Only 30 in April, but 14 years here in this church, annoying you all and starting fights on the basketball court and getting in trouble and having good times and beating Brother Brad in ping pong and wrestling and anything else you can imagine. And there's just been good times here. I love this church. I love this place. Like he said, I grew up without a father. I know many of you were praying for my dad. He was sober for a short time. He got his disability money, and he's right back to drinking every day. So it should be, I mean, less than 6 months or so, he should be gone. But just keep praying for him, and I appreciate it. But I think often about this church and the impact that it made on my life. With all the men in this church, the men in this church are the very ones that showed me what being a good husband is, what to be a good father is. I was in your homes, I was with your families, and I saw it. And I want you to know that your labor of work and your labor of love was not in vain. It made a difference in my life, and I'm thankful for all of you. And also for the support and all the help. This is our sending church. For those of you who don't know, we're missionaries in Ecuador. We've been working with the deaf there for 2.5 years. We're helping Preacher's uncle, Pastor Ray. They've been in Ecuador for 23 years. He's deaf. And we've had a great time the last 2.5 years. I'll have the chance over the next couple months to tell you more about it, to tell you about what we've been doing, the places that we've been. I'm going to show you some pictures of where we've been and the people that we've seen. And it's been a great opportunity for us. And like you said, I could preach in Spanish and sign language, Ecuadorian sign language, but I've pretty much forgotten most of my American signs or they'll come back one day. But it's been a great privilege for us. Last year alone, for example, Sonia taught, and me, I've been able to preach or teach last year over 120 times in Spanish and in sign language. And I just want you all to know that we're appreciative for all that you do for us. Brother Gary takes care of all of our finances, and the church really helps us a lot when we have a special need or when there's a big need in Ecuador. So it means a lot. I want you to know that we love this church, and we're thankful for you and thankful for all that you've done for us. If you have your Bible, please look at Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5. Luke chapter number 5 and verses number 1 through 11 we'll look at. But I will say, Preacher loves to talk about me being scared. I mean, he hasn't been with me the last 2.5 years in this third world country of Ecuador, you know. There's been times on visitation where I'm walking with 10 Ecuadorians and the dogs in Ecuador are racist. They see one white person in the group and who do you think they're mad at? They come after me because I'm white. They're racist. But there's been many times where I'm fighting off dogs. I pick up rocks and have to stare them down. You know, I'm not scared of the Ecuadorian dogs. And I've had Amelia carries her little pink umbrella to block the sun. I've been fighting off dogs, like with a sword, with pink umbrella, you know. I've driven. Listen, if you think I'm scared, I have driven with Pastor Ray in Ecuador through the mountains. Now, imagine a deaf man, right? Deaf people can drive. They're smarter than us, I believe, after spending time with so many deaf. They're smart people. But when it comes to driving in Ecuador, it is the scariest experience that I had in Ecuador. But I took it, you know, tough, like a brave man. There was no crying or anything. I thought we might meet Jesus. Imagine this, 2-lane highways through the mountains people speeding and passing on corners, Pastor Ray driving with one hand, shifting with the other, signing to everybody with the same hand. There's no other hand. And then, because they're always so busy, do we stop for lunch? No. We buy a tub of chicken, and while Pastor Ray is driving, shifting, signing, passing, he's also eating chicken from the hands of Miss Anita while we're in the back watching chicken drip from his mouth, and they're trying to get it with napkins, and I thought, this is it. This is it. We're done. I've had some experiences, you know. I bravely drank fresh goat milk one time, which some country people here, that's not a big deal, but when I grew up, we drank milk from the store, all right? All right? We were on visitation, and I was with a couple Ecuadorians, and here comes a guy walking his goats, house to house, selling. I thought he had prepackaged things, and my friends are telling me, oh, drink some. So I asked the guy, ¿cuánto cuesta? Yo quiero leche, por favor. He tells me 50 cents. Ah, great price. He gives me, I thought he was going to pull out a little packet or something. He grabs a little cup, bends over, and he milks the goat, hands me the goat milk. Was I scared? Did I cry? No, I drank the goat milk, all right? So you can't believe all preacher stories, although that one was true. We had just had our baby. I was a protective father, all right? Just kidding. Luke chapter number 5. We find here the story of Peter. Peter, I want to preach to you tonight, give you a quick challenge. I won't be long. In Ecuador, I preach 40 to 55 minutes every time, not because I necessarily want to, but because if I'm done preaching, everyone's not going to have anything to do until the bus gets there. So might as well preach. And I do a sign language in Spanish. My head hurts. I have to think longer. So I'll go fast tonight. I know you guys are spoiled with preacher. But here in Luke chapter number 5, we find the story of Peter. And I want to preach to you on the conversion of Peter. The conversion of Peter. Every single one of us need a conversion. The most important conversion is the second birth, our salvation. But even after that, we always have to be watching our lives. We always have to be watching what's going on in our minds, in our workplace, in our homes, with our children. There always needs to be adjustments and things that we can do. We can never arrive at one point and leave it at that. Arrive in one place and think, all right, I'm good. Arrive at one place and think, you know, I'm okay. And we can learn from a few things in this story. But let's open up in a word of prayer, and then we'll read a couple of verses. I'll give you a couple of challenges, and we'll go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this evening. Lord, I thank you for this church, all the wonderful memories here, all the people here. Preacher has made such a big influence on my life. And Lord, I thank you for every man in this church that has took time to invest in me in different ways. And every lady as well, Lord. The impact is, it can't even be described in words. And Lord, you've used your people to impact somebody, and we all have a part in this. I pray, Lord, that you would bless this evening. We're going to look at the story of Peter, his conversion in Luke chapter number 5. Bless your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Luke chapter number 5, we find, I don't want to read all the verses for sake of time, but in verse 1, Christ is walking and people are pressing on him to hear the word of God. And they want to hear his words. They want to hear his teachings. They want to hear what he has to say. And he's looking for a place to rest and to teach them. So he sees Peter and the disciples and the boats. And in verse number 2, he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. Remember, Peter and the fishermen, they had fished all night and caught nothing. Now they're washing their nets, and Christ tells them to launch out one of the boats and let him sit there and teach the people. And you know, it's one thing, we can read the Word of God many times and not really think that these are real events or not really think that these happened. But if you use your mind and you imagine that Christ is walking and all the people are on him wanting to hear the Word of God, and they want to hear what he has to say. And then he finally gets out on one of the boats, and he's sitting on a boat, and all the people are there standing on the shore listening. You know, it's a neat picture. I'm sure he had to raise his voice and teach everybody. And then in verse number 4, when he left speaking, he was finished teaching them. He said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. He said, when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship. I like that verse because in Spanish it says they use señas. They signed unto him. So I always tease the ones there that the disciples knew sign language, is they signed to their friends, come help, come help. And they were already signing back then. So some deaf humor for you. Verse number 7, that they should come and help them. They came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Simon Peter saw it. He fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished and all that were with him at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. You know, we all have different experiences in our life, different moments, different high points, different low points. This was a high point in the life of Peter. Imagine, Peter was working a job, along comes Jesus, gives him some commands. Peter witnesses a great miracle, and his life is changed forever. His occupation, his mind, his heart. It was a great, great experience in the life of Peter. But what caused this experience? What caused this? Things that we can do also in our lives to experience God, to have a conversion, if you will, of salvation, and then after in our lives, in our hearts, and in our minds. So first of all, the conversion of Peter started with the Word of God. It started with the Word of God. In verse number 1, the people were pressing to hear the Word of God. In verse number 3, he taught them. He lunched out a little in the land, sat down, and he taught the people out of the ship. He was using his words to teach them the Word of God. Then in verse number 4, he said, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." You know, he heard the words of God. And any conversion that we have for salvation and anything after when we need to mature in our Christian life all comes from the Word of God. Jesus Christ himself said, "For without me, ye can do nothing." And where do we find Jesus Christ? In the words of God. When I was 12 years old and I had long hair back in the day at Pleasant Ridge Baptist Church, and somebody invited my family to a revival meeting, and on Halloween of 1999, my mom listened to a midget preacher, Bobby Brindle, running around the church, preaching and screaming like crazy, and she accepted Jesus Christ as her Savior on Halloween of 1999. A few weeks later, I heard the Word of God. Pastor Skipper was preaching, and I heard what he had to say about salvation. They weren't his words. There wasn't a book that he wrote. It wasn't a magazine that the Baptist put out. He preached the Word of God. I heard the Word of God, and I raised my hand, and I went forward, and I asked forgiveness for my sins, and I prayed to Jesus Christ, and I put my trust in him. But why? Because I heard the Word of God. I now know that I have eternal life. Why? Because the Word of God. I know that I need to teach my children in the way that they should go. Why? How? The Word of God. We know that we should respect our wives. We should respect our spouses. How and why? Because the Word of God. That's one problem with the world and with atheists. They have no basis for right or wrong. You and I, we have the Word of God. If we want a conversion of salvation, more importantly, but after that, if we want victories in our life, victories with our family, victories in our workplace, victories in whatever we're doing, it starts with the Word of God. Peter's conversion started with the Word of God because Christ looked at him and said, "Launch out your nets. Throw out your nets." And he obeyed. It started with the Word of God. If you're struggling with something this evening, if you need a victory, if you need encouragement, you know, a lot of people, they call their friends or their family first, or they go to Google and look for an answer and see what it has to say about it, or the internet. And look, God can use your pastor. God can use your mother, your father. God can use your friends and family. But first, go to the Word of God. We find all the answers for life right here in the Word of God. And Peter's amazing experience started with the very words of Jesus Christ. My salvation was because of the words of God. It's not in our own wisdom, it's the words of God. So first of all, started with the Word of God. Second of all, look at verse number 8, please. Verse number 8, the Bible says, "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" Secondly, Peter had an amazing experience this day. Why? Because he humbled himself. He humbled himself. Yo, we need to learn to be humble people, especially living here in America. The last 2.5 years, the last 2.5 years have shaped my mind. I'll never be the same ever again. We came back to the States here, and it is an absolute amazing place. I know everyone likes to bash on it or have, you know, things to say about it or are frustrated with it. But look, I can tell you, this place is an absolute amazing place. You think our election was bad right now in Ecuador? Today, they're voting for a new president. All the people there are very worried. Before the current president that we have, he's been president for 9 years. Before him, in a 10-year span, we had 7 different presidents. They were murdered. They were thrown out of office. They passed away. They were thrown out for corruption. It was very, very, very unstable. And the people are worried that that's going to come again. You know, in a third world country or where it's always changing, we are so blessed here. I also promise you that I'll never complain again about Walmart or the DMV. Incredible places. You know, the DMV so fast here, the people so friendly. I understand all the words that they're saying to me. And Walmart, when we arrived to the States, we went to Walmart, and we walked into Walmart, and it's just absolute culture shock. Sonia was just like, "Wow, look at all these things." Amelia, my 4-year-old, said, "Daddy is so big." And then she said, "And everybody here speaks English." But they notice these things. Well, look, we have an amazing place. But one thing I've seen in missions, just to apply it, is that we get a godlike complex. We get a support. Sorry, my English is not great. I haven't preached in English in years. I feel like I need to relearn all my vocabulary. But we have a godlike complex. We think that we're smarter than others. We think that we're better than others. We think because we have nice clothes or money that God loves us more. Look, we're all the same in God's eyes. The Bible says that God is not a respecter of persons. And you and I, we need to be humble. What does being humble involve? Being kind, loving one another. You know, we always need to be kind. Follow the example of Jesus Christ. Even with those who we don't agree with, even those who just annoy us and make us want to pull the rest of our hair out, the people that just make us mad, we need to be kind. You never know what somebody went through that day. You never know what God could use you to do to touch that person's life. We need to be kind every single day. But that starts with being humble. You and I are no better than the people in Ecuador. You and I are no better than the families that I've sat with and had lunch and on the concrete floors and ate things that I didn't know what they were and were sick for 2 days. You and I are no better than them. God loves them just like us. And if you and I want victories in our life, we have to be humble. We can't walk around thinking that we're better than others. Be humble. And look at Peter here in verse number 8. It said when he saw it, what did he see? He saw the amazing miracle. He saw the two boats that were overflowing with fish. And he sees it and he runs to Christ and he falls down. And the Bible says he falls down at Jesus' knees saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." When we see God in his glory, when we think about all that God has done for us, about how perfect he is, we should do the same as Peter and fall at his knees and say, "Lord, depart from me, for I am a sinful man." We stand before God as a sinful man, but Jesus Christ is perfect. We need to be humble before God. And Peter experienced an amazing thing in his life because he was humble. I wonder how many times you and I miss out on something amazing in our life because we're not humble. But be humble like Peter. Number two, be humble. Number three, he obeyed. He obeyed. Look at verse number 5. The Bible says, "Simon answering said unto him, 'Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing.'" It's a good response. Peter doesn't know Christ. Maybe he's heard of him, but Peter is a fisherman by trade. This is what he does every day. He's fished all the night. The Bible says toiled all the night. And then here comes Jesus saying, "Hey, launch out your nets again. Throw them out again." And what does Peter say? "Master, we've toiled all the night and we have nothing." But then he says, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down thy net." I will let down the net. He obeyed the words of Jesus Christ. He didn't understand. He didn't know why. He didn't know what God had planned. He was probably frustrated. If you can imagine, working all night, that is his money. That's his livelihood. That's his job. And he caught nothing. He's probably frustrated washing the nets, thinking it was a waste. And then he's probably tired and wants to sleep. Here comes Jesus Christ. "Hey, launch out your nets. Throw them out in the deep again." Why? We've already been doing it all night. You know, it's something, it'd probably be the same response that we would have as well. But the Bible says, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." He experienced an amazing thing in his life because he simply obeyed. And you and I, we have the word of God. What should we do? Obey. Amen. Even when we don't understand, even when it's difficult, even when it's frustrating, we should obey. God's ways are higher than our ways. We don't know his will, his plans. I always think of this when I'm thinking about this. When I went to Pleasant Ridge, you know, God's way, God always knows better than us. There was a lady there. Her name was Sister Janie Carver. And she had a family there, and she was diagnosed with cancer. And I remember it being an awful thing. Some of the local preachers went to the hospital and prayed over her. And the doctors told her she had 2 weeks to 2 months to live. And it was a scary thing, a scary time. And they prayed, and she just stayed in church. She kept reading her Bible. She ended up living 2 years after that. And I think it was over 25 of her friends and family came to know the Lord through her testimony during the time of her cancer. You know, sometimes things happen to us in life, but we don't know why. Sometimes something is going on and it frustrates us or it makes us mad. God always has a plan. God always has a purpose. And you and I, when we realize that God has a plan for us, when he tells us to do something, we obey, we can experience an amazing thing just like Peter did in this. You know, sometimes God tells us to do something and we don't understand. For example, if he tells us to tithe. You know, I'm not here to preach on tithing. You guys always send me money. Thank you. But I'm not here to do that. But, well, really, I'm a missionary. I'm not ashamed to talk about money, but thank you. I'm just kidding. But look, even when it comes to tithing, the Bible says to give. Sometimes we look at our checkbook and then we look at the Bible, and it says give, then we look at our checkbook, and you think, how can I give? Why should I give? Just simply obey. I understand it may be hard, but God knows. When we obey, he sees the obedience, and he blesses us. I'm not saying if you give $100, you're going to get $700 back, but we always need to obey the word of God, even when we don't understand. What an example of Peter. Peter didn't understand. He said, nevertheless, at thy word, because he obeyed the word of God, he experienced a miracle that day. Probably something he told every person he met about the rest of his life. Hey, one time I was with Jesus. I had a regular job. Next thing you know, this man comes, tells me to do this. I didn't understand. I thought he was a little cuckoo, but I threw him out. Next thing you know, we're overflowing with fish. He had an amazing story to tell. Why? Because he obeyed the word of God. And if you and I will obey the word of God, we'll also have some stories. We may not have boats that overflow with fish, but we'll have other stories, other experiences, other things that God has done in our life when we just simply obey. So learn from the example of Peter. Obeyed. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, for he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Just quickly, I just want to say that he astonished at God. He saw the miracle that God did. Yes, he humbled himself, but he was also amazed. And I just want to give you a quick challenge that you and I as well, we experience the miracles of God every single day. We are so blessed in this country. We are so blessed with our family. The average man in America makes $300 a month to support his family. And the prices in Ecuador are higher than the prices here. It's nearly impossible to care for your family. But us here, when I was 16 years old, skating at Sonic, you know, making tips, I was making way more than even the man in Ecuador makes. That's how blessed we are here. I'm talking to you that live here in America. We're so blessed. And God, apart from material-wise, God is blessing us with the Word of God. We can learn. We have a church to come to. We have so many blessings. And we, just as Peter was in verse number 9, he was astonished. You and I as well need to be amazed at the goodness of God. What does that entail? Giving him thanks. Saying, thank you, God, for all that I have. And lastly, look in verse number 11. Peter experienced this amazing, amazing experience in his life for a few reasons. The Word of God. He humbled himself. He obeyed, even when he didn't understand. He was amazed. He was astonished, the Bible says. But lastly, look at verse number 11. Verse number 11, the Bible says, and when they had brought their ships to the land, they forsook all and followed him. Amen. He followed Jesus. He had an amazing experience. Why? He followed Jesus. Verse number 11 says, they forsook all and followed him. What an amazing verse of Scripture. Remember, Peter was a wealthy man. He had a boat. He had a job. He had a career. I'm sure he had a home. He had family. He had all the things that he loved there. And then Jesus says, come with me. I'll make you a fisher of men. Bible says in verse number 11, they forsook all and followed him. He experienced this amazing transformation in his life simply because he followed Jesus Christ. He followed him. He was willing to give up everything. His comforts, everything that he's known, his favorite restaurants in town, he gave it all up. I like to tease the Ecuadorians there and ask them, if God calls you to be a missionary, are you willing to give up your white rice to go to another country? Because there are countries that don't eat white rice 3 times a day. And they're always like, oh, I couldn't do the rice. I couldn't give it up. And I eat white rice 6 days a week there. And praise the Lord, I'm not eating any white rice while I'm here in the States. I'm on a white rice vacation. But I always tease them, because they love white rice, are you willing to give that up to follow God? And I'm not, you know, we've given up some things to follow God and go to Ecuador, some special moments with family and different things. But you, in your life, I want to ask you, have you looked at God and said, I'm willing to go? I'm willing to, and then fill in the blank, not just be a missionary. It's my belief that God calls us to reach the entire world. So what he's going to do is he wouldn't call us to do one thing and then not call the people to do it. God says, go reach the world, but then why would he not call people? He commands us to go reach the world, and he is calling people, but we're not willing to give up everything and follow him. And it's not just in missions. In any area of our life, are you willing to give up all and follow God? Remember that he gave up everything. Are you willing to give up the sports that you love, the favorite restaurants that you have, your cable TV, whatever it is that you hold dear? I remember one thing that was hard for me to go there, not an important thing, but I love basketball. I do. I love playing. When I was here in the States, I would play 2 to 3 times a week. And in 2.5 years there in Ecuador, I played competitively 1 time. They all play soccer all the time. And I love to watch basketball on TV. I remember the very first year we were there in April. You know, I love me some March Madness and then the finals in April, the championship game. And I was so excited because on ESPN down there, look, we get cable for $12 a month. So sorry, your missionaries are living the high life with cable. But it's pretty cheap. But I was so excited because they were putting the championship game on ESPN. I don't remember exactly who was playing. I think it was Kentucky and somebody else in 2015. And I watched the whole game. I was excited. It came down. One team was down by three with 30 seconds left. I'm watching the game. He throws the ball in. He starts to dribble. Power goes out. I thought, am I supposed to be a missionary? I was upset. You know, that's something we deal with there sometimes is power outages. But I'm like, out of all the 24 hours in the day, why did it have to happen right here at this moment? And the power was out for over 30 minutes. I had no clue who won the game. I had to wait till everything booted back up and go look on the internet. And it's just I love basketball. But that was a sad moment in Ecuador. But we're willing to give up everything. Obviously, basketball isn't an important thing. But you in your life, are you willing to give up everything? Yeah, I just want to look at two verses, and I'll finish with these. You don't have to look there. I'll read it. Matthew 9:9. In Matthew 9:9, you find the calling of Matthew. The Bible says, "And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom, and he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him." It's just another example of somebody giving up all to follow God. He was working. He had a job. He had a career. He had responsibilities. He had things that he was doing. Christ comes along and says two words, follow me. Follow me. And what did he do? He gave up all. He arose and followed him. Jesus is calling us to serve him. Jesus is saying, serve me. Read your Bible. Go to church. Give. Help the poor. Pray for the widows. Pray for the needy. Give of what you have because material things are not important. We have all these commands in the Word of God. But are we obeying his Word as these men obeyed? And I'll leave you with this verse in 1 Samuel 17. You find the story of David and Goliath. The story of David and Goliath. A popular story, a famous story. But you know that Goliath was defying the armies of the living God, the Bible says, that he was killing the Israelites, and they were scared to go out against this Philistine. You know, they one by one, they turned away. They didn't want to go. David shows up with the things that he was supposed to bring. He was being responsible, and he looks at this giant, and he says, why is nobody fighting this giant? Look, I see this man here. He's a Philistine. He's defying the armies of the living God. He says, why are none of you trained men going to fight him? And every single one of them were afraid. And David goes from man to man, asking him, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause? They were mad at David, but people heard the chatter. And they said, look at this young man talking this nonsense. They brought him before King Saul. Can you imagine a young man before King Saul? You know, I remember as a kid, if I had to go to the principal's office, you know, I was scared then, you're right. Those were scary moments. And but can you imagine being a young man in an entire kingdom, being before the king, the mighty King Saul? And we find here in chapter number 17, in verse number 31, we'll read 31 and 32. And when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. And then he says this phrase, thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Look how willing David was to give up his entire life for God. He said, before a king, before a mighty king, all the trained warriors are afraid. Goliath is over there defying the armies of the living God. And David the youth says, Saul, I will go. Let thy heart not fail thee. I will go. Thy servant will go. Thy servant will go. And we can apply this to going on mission trips, to being a missionary. But also, if you just take off the one word, go, what does it say? Thy servant will. Thy servant will. Look, you and I, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, we are the servants of God. And God saved us to make us into his workmanship, created for good works. God did not save us so he could take us like a trophy, put us on the shelf and say, got another one, they're saved, and leave us there for years and years while we collect dust. God has a purpose for every one of us in his family, in the body of Christ. In this church, there are areas that you can serve. In this church, there's areas that you can get involved. But first, you must be willing to do it. Just like the Bible says here, thy servant will. And I hope that's something that every single one of you have said in your heart to God, thy servant will, and let God fill in the blank. But Peter experienced an amazing conversion on this day. His life changed forever. Yes, with salvation, but afterward, his job changed, his talk changed, his walk changed, everything changed about Peter. And you and I, we can experience these amazing miracles of God, just like Peter did, if we'll stay in the Word of God, if we'll be humble, if we'll obey, if we'll give God the praise, and if we'll just be willing to go. Sometimes God will say, do this. We don't understand. We don't want to. We're scared. You think it's easy to leave everything and go live in a third world country where Pastor Ray and Miss Anita are constantly telling us stories about being robbed and guns and all these other things? You just trust God. You be responsible and wise, but trust God. And me in my life, I want my family to serve God. I want to be a good example to them. I want to have victories through Jesus Christ. But how can we do that? Learn from the experience of Peter. Amen? Pastor, thank you.
Children.